loved everything, cause nothing else mattered. Cause I had to have you, and I knew I couldn't get nothing better. Just felt like destiny, a cupid, shot me with an arrow through my heart. And you're next to me, I'm stupid.
Yeah. What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ready to chop up some good game as we always do. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to take a real quick commercial break. Don't go nowhere. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Do you have any personal dating issues that you need addressed right now? Dating and life coach Mr. Locario will help you with his 30-minute game session. The Mr. Locario's 30-minute game session is a private one-on-one coaching session on the phone or through Skype. For 30 minutes, you'll get answers to any dating questions you have. To set up your 30-minute game session, go to MrLocario.com. That's MrLocario.com. MrLocario.com.
Yo, if you are a parent or if you are a teacher or if you're somebody who just values education, then you have to pre-order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an animated DVD series that uses hip-hop to teach kids lessons in math, language arts, drug prevention, and much, much more. You need to check it out right now at giftedandlit.com. Pre-order right now at giftedandlit.com. What's up, family? If you make music and you're looking for experienced, no-nonsense audio engineers that can professionally mix and master your music, then check out my friends at LegendaryMix.com. With over 15 years in the music industry, their expertise is unmatched. LegendaryMix.com delivers professional music mixing and mastering for a great price with a very fast turnaround time. You can't beat that. Also, as a bonus, you sign up to the email list at LegendaryMix.com and you'll receive a discount link and a free music marketing ebook. So drop everything right now. Stop messing around. Go, call, or send a text to LegendaryMix.com at 347-565-5892 or send an email to music@legendarymix.com.
This is the Fortune 500 marketer, Musa Ali. Are you an entrepreneur looking to brand your business, or are you looking for ways to level up your own personal brand to create a larger reach? Well, join me in Oakland, California on February 10th, and I'll give you the secrets on how to build a multi-million dollar brand. To purchase tickets, go to universitybrand.eventbrite.com. Again, that's universitybrand.eventbrite.com. Spots are filling fast, so don't miss out on this opportunity to take your business and life to the next level.
What up, everybody? It's your boy, Crispin, everybody. And I got a brand new video game app out right now, everybody. It's called Crispy's Biscuits, everybody. And you can get the Crispy's Biscuits app right now on the iPhone Apple Store, everybody. And you can also get it on the Google Play Store, everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody, it was the number one game on Google Play all last week, everybody. The game is so exciting, everybody. There's 10 levels you can help me get through, everybody. Where I'm dodging bottles of lotion, everybody. I'm dodging hair clippers, everybody. And I'm dodging taco meat, everybody. So get the Crispy's Biscuits game right now, everybody, at crispysbiscuits.com, everybody. Now I'm about to do my coon laugh, everybody.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You're now tuning into the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Yo, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am Tariq Nasheed, and I'm ready to chop up good game with everybody out there listening. I see a lot of folks in the chat room and Ustream coming on through. I'm glad to have y'all in here. I hope everybody has their copy of 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. This is the end of the year. This is the last show of the year. I hate to date the broadcast. I don't like dating the broadcast because a lot of times people listen to my broadcast from years and decades on, and I don't like to date them because people are still listening to some of my old Mac Lessons radio broadcast from a decade ago. So a lot of good games still. So I just want to say to the people listening now, this is the last show of the year. One hell of a year. Looking forward to the new year. I hope you have your 1804 DVDs, The Hidden History of Haiti. It's right now. The movie's been out October, November. It's been out for a couple of months. Right now, still number two on Amazon. It's been rotating between number two and number one. It's still, after all these months, number two best-selling documentary on Amazon, still killing the game. The movie's that good. It's not in the top two for this long, family, for no reason. If you haven't seen it, there's a reason why people are praising it. I'm not rubbing my own balls here because it was a collaborative effort with so many different people, but the film is so phenomenal. The film is changing so many people's lives, so definitely get the film. You can get it at 1804movie.com or you can get it at amazon.com. And also, don't forget all your Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs at hiddencolorsfilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. You dig? We got a lot of stuff going on for 2018, man. You know, we're being my group putting out an EP. We're going to do some funk music. I want y'all to buy that shit in droves. When we put it up on iTunes, I want everybody to buy the funk in droves. And I keep you guys posted on that. But we got a lot of stuff going on in 2018. Again, I'm dating the show right now. So all you people who's listening in 2025 right now, just ignore this shit. Because the game is still going to be futuristic and it's going to be relevant to that time frame. But for the next year, there's a lot of stuff that we have going on. I think we're definitely going to do the Coon Train Awards again, hopefully this February. I'm going to start looking into it now, but we got to do the Coon Train Awards. Dude, there's so many categories that we need to add. It is ridiculous. I don't know. There's so much cooning going on. We got to have sports coons. We're going to have hip-hop coons again. I think we have to have a wannabe reformed bedwinch category because, you know, there's a lot of bedwinches and coons who are trying to reform themselves. So there's so many different categories that we could have. OG coon, up and coming coon. There's a lot of young coons out here that's being recruited. There's so many categories we can have. Man. What's up, Kiki Naturalista in the chat room? But yeah, I'm thinking about doing the Coon Train Awards this February. Also, I might be going over to Zimbabwe. I'm chopping it up with some folks. My man Sinclair, I've been chopping it up with him, and he does business over there, and they want me to go over there and chop it up and do a screening. So that's something that might be coming up. But my brother, we were having a real good conversation about Zimbabwe, and that's why I want to go over there and chop it up with the family and just see really what's popping other than what we're being shown in the media. So that's something that we're putting together. Now, if I go over there, I'm going to do like a documentary and really document it and bring it back and let people see what's popping. But we got a lot of stuff going on. So let me get into what's happening out here, family. So today I want to talk about how the alt-lice and the white supremacists they're in a little conundrum right now, because what they're doing, the white supremacists, they're trying to recruit a new generation of up-and-coming white supremacists. They just had this big white supremacist rally called the Student Action Committee down in Florida by Turning Point USA. I think that's the name of the organization. At Turning Point USA, Trump praised them. He retweeted some of their stuff. And as a matter of fact, at Turning Point USA, at this Student Action Committee down in Florida, you know, Donald Trump Jr. was there. I think Bannon was there. A lot of the big time white supremacists. And basically it was a recruitment rally for young and up and coming white supremacists. They're really, really, really trying to get that new crop of white supremacists and trying to legitimize the new crop of them. And they're having a little difficulty, by the way. They're having some difficulties. And by the way, speaking of the Turning Point USA thing, there are people, and this was exposed, and I exposed a lot of this stuff on Twitter. There were some of the employees there that were actually sending text messages to each other talking about how much they hate black people. So when I say this is some white supremacist shit, this is not conjecture. I mean, it's sponsored by the Heritage Foundation, and that's the foundation, that's a white supremacist think tank. They put out all of this propaganda about how black people are intellectually inferior. As a matter of fact, the Heritage Foundation was funded and founded by the Coors Brothers, and the Coors Brothers are, when I mean Coors, Coors Beer, Joseph and William Coors, and they were hardcore white supremacists, and I posted some of their white supremacist ideologies. They had that whole thing about black people have low IQ, so this is who we're dealing with. They had suspected white supremacists like Ben Shapiro, you know, the normal crowd, and a whole bunch of them. Joe Walsh, just the whole white supremacist set, and this is why we got to keep our eyes open and watch some of the words that they're using. They're trying their best to legitimize a lot of the up-and-coming hardcore white extremists. They're trying to get the next generation on code. Yes, the American Enterprise Institute, yes, they're responsible for the bell curve. Somebody in the chat room said that. Yeah, they had Tommy Lauren out there. Let me get on that in a minute, because that's another way they're trying to recruit the young white supremacist males. They really want to get those males. And you notice what they have are white women, and they're propping up a lot of these white women who have the same look and vibe. There's a lot of these Tommy Lauren and Tommy Lauren wannabes. Notice there's a lot of these skinny blonde, by their standards, attractive. They're not attractive to me. They look, you know, they look kind of funny style. I don't like, you know. And I'm not saying that just because they're white, because there are some attractive white women. Many of those chicks are just not that skinny, bone face, Skeletor face, bleach blonde shit. Nah. But they are getting the Tommy Laurens and the Lauren Southerns and all of these other white supremacist females on YouTube who are young white women who spew the same talking points. Lacey Green, she's another one. She tries to act like she's not a white supremacist, and she is. Her boyfriend is a goddamn white supremacist, and she's tied in with the alt-right. That's another thing. Be very wary of some of these white supremacists who try to act like they're your liberal buddies. But they get these young white supremacist women, and notice they spew the same talking points. The Muslim this and immigration that and black on black crime this. I mean, it's the same exact talking points. And what's interesting, some of these white women, they're in it for the money. You know, they're looking at it, you know, we're getting a quick buck. Like Lauren Southern, for example. Google her. Lauren Southern, she makes all these videos, with these white supremacist talking points, and the white supremacists got mad at her because they found out she had a black ex-boyfriend. He was digging that little white supremacist cooch out. She had a little soul pole hankering. So they were a little bit upset with her. They looked at her as a race traitor. You dig? But the thing is, they're desperately trying to recruit the next generation and they want to have a legitimized next generation. See, the thing is, you can get a bunch of young, dumbass white supremacists or white extremists, but to groom one that's somewhat savvy and who's codified with the rhetoric of white supremacy, that's a little tricky right now. That's the conundrum they're in right now. They're trying to recruit one who's not a troll, or they're trying to recruit a group of them who are not just trolls. The closest thing they have to a younger version of the new generation of white supremacists, Richard Spencer. But the thing is, Richard Spencer, he's not legitimized. You know, he's a pariah within the dominant society. Everybody knows that he is a white supremacist, so he doesn't know how to really, he tries his best to codify it. And he tries his best to be an intellectual about it. But everybody knows he's pretty much a straight up and down David Duke style white supremacist. So Richard Spencer is damn near synonymous with David Duke. And they want somebody who's a little bit more savvier than that. And the thing is, the older generation of white supremacists, a lot of young folks aren't connecting with them. See, the Sean Hannitys, that's a seasoned suspected white supremacist. You know, the Tucker Carlsons, those are seasoned suspected white supremacists. They've been in the game for a minute, so they know how to codify a lot of their words and their rhetoric so that they don't come across as the David Dukes. The problem is they're not resonating with young people. You see, and this is where people like Milo comes in. And this is where they failed. They failed with Milo. See, what they wanted to do with Milo is a young gay white supremacist who's a major troll, who's completely unfunny, is nothing talented about him, nothing witty about him. He's just a goofy fucking troll. And they were desperately trying to groom him so that he can be a recruitment tool for the next generation. So they were trying to get him and legitimize Milo. They were desperately trying to legitimize Milo. All of these so-called liberals, they would have Milo on their shows to talk that bullshit and spew his bullshit. So you got to watch some of these damn quote-unquote liberals. They're all on the team too. They try to throw a little alley-oop to the other so-called conservative white supremacists who are not conservative whatsoever. But the thing is, see, Milo, they tried to legitimize him, but he just kept saying dumb shit. Then he got into some shit where he was co-signing pedophilia. Because, see, they let him get away with all of his anti-black bullshit. They let him get away with that whole shit they did with Leslie Jones, disparaging that sister like that. They let him get away with that. He ended up getting, you know, thrown off Twitter and all that, but they let him get away with a lot of stuff. And him sending trolls over at Leslie Jones, the black sister, the comedian on Saturday Night Live. And Milo has trolled me before. So he does that. He'll troll you and send all the other trolls after you. Because I always call out his white supremacist rhetoric. So he was shitting on himself with the media. The media was looking funny style trying to co-sign this dude, and he's saying all of this vile shit. When it gets into sexual perversion, it's hard to make excuses for a person like that. No, somebody in the room says, is Milo a German name? Milo is Greek. I can't pronounce his last name for shit because I don't give a damn about him enough to. That's the thing with me. If I don't really give a fuck about somebody, but I keep my eye on them, I don't really care to know if their name is somewhat difficult. It's Yiannopoulos, I think that's his last name. I don't give a shit. But the thing with Milo, they really tried to legitimize him, and he got this book deal. I think he got some people are saying it was a couple of $100,000. Some people were saying it was $80,000. They gave him an $80,000 advance with Simon & Schuster to do a book. And a lot of folks were upset about him getting a book deal. It was very controversial. And eventually, he lost the book deal. And a lot of people, especially on the alt-life side and the alt-life sympathizers, they were like, well, damn, this is This is censorship. You're not going to put out Milo's book because of his views. How dare you? So they tried to use that as a rallying call. Look, they're trying to silence the white. It's okay to be white. They're trying to silence us white people, us white supremacists. That's what they're talking about. When they say they're trying to silence us white people, they mean the white supremacists. They try to hide behind everyday white people. But you always have to remind them, white people are okay. You alt-right white supremacists are not. So the thing is, and another thing with Milo, they try to say he's not a racist, he married a black man. Who gives a shit? And that's another con game. Well, I'm not a racist, I'm Puerto Rican. I'm going to get on that a little bit later too. Don't let the white supremacists fool you with that. They're always trying to refine their white supremacist rhetoric. And the name of the game is denial. No matter how much evidence is there, the name of the game for them is to deny, deny, deny. Come up with asinine excuses to deny. So with Milo, he got this book deal. They dropped the book. They said, we're not putting the book out. So I think he tried to sue Simon & Schuster on some censorship shit. And today, the documents and the paperwork and the manuscript of the book, it became public. The media got a hold of it because of the lawsuit, because the manuscript had to get into evidence. And we see the real reason why they didn't put that book out. It wasn't because of censorship. And also understand this, when we talk about the First Amendment and censorship, that doesn't apply for a private company. Simon & Schuster is a private company, so they can put out stuff or censor it or not put it out. They can do whatever they want to. That First Amendment shit doesn't work with a private corporation. So when you see the manuscript and the notes, because there was an editor putting notes on the side of the manuscript, which is what they do. Again, I have one of my books is done by Simon & Schuster, and they do a lot of editing. They send you notes every day. Every time you send the manuscript in, they'll send it back saying, okay, you got to say this way. It's a run-on sentence here. This doesn't make sense. You stated this and you got to cite your source. Simon & Schuster, they're real big on that. And they utilize their leeway to change a lot of stuff in your books. As a matter of fact, when I did a book for Simon & Schuster, I wrote a book called The Game for Women. Simon & Schuster actually changed the title of that book because they said they don't like the title. The title is cool, but the book is directed towards women and people are going to think it's a sports book, so you have to change the title. So the book, The Game for Women, became Player Be Played, which was the best-selling book, still a bestseller, and one of my classic books. But that's part of the game. They changed it. So all that, oh, it's my free speech. No, they change it. They're a publisher. They give you a few $100,000 advance. They're gonna have say-so over what can be printed in their book. The problem with Milo wasn't no free speech. They didn't put the book out because the book was fucking garbage. That book was garbage with a capital damn G. The book was trash. It was infantile, unprofessional, pure garbage. And the editor, the notes prove that. The guy editing the book, and from what I understand, the editor, he's a conservative. And this is the thing. The editor, his name was Mitch something. Now, I don't know, Simon & Schuster, they're a huge corporation. So I'm not familiar who this guy is. And editors come and go. You dig? But what's interesting, this editor, he was getting so frustrated with how trash and garbage and unprofessional Milo's writing was. The thing is, this editor seems like he was trying to get Milo to talk in code. Because understand, the people, when they gave Milo that book deal, they know what Milo was about. Let's be very clear. They know what you're about. They know what your ideology is. And the thing is, they're like, well, shit, we're going to make a quick buck off this thing.
we about to get us a little paper off this. You know, they're pumping Milo up, Breitbart, and, you know, the whole Trump team and all that stuff. So they're pumping this dude up. So they're like, let's get us a little piece of change out this. But the editor, some of the stuff he was saying stuff like it's unclear. This is unclear. You got to take this out. This is unfunny. And that's what nothing Milo has ever said. I challenge you to find anything Milo has said that's even remotely humorous, funny, or witty. He's not. He's just a troll. The editor was like, okay, this whole chapter here, you got to delete the whole chapter. This whole chapter just is not going to work. I mean, they're deleting whole chapters out this fucking book. That's unheard of. That's unheard of. When I wrote a book with Simon and Schuster, I would have to change a couple of words, a sentence at the most, not no paragraph or nothing like that. I mean, they make you change a word or a sentence here or there. I'm telling you from experience. They will make you change a sentence here, a word there, not even a paragraph. Little stuff. They made this motherfucker take out whole chapters. They're like, this whole chapter is garbage. This shit gotta go. So the fact that they even gave him a deal, they knew that they were about to compromise their integrity by putting that out. They knew they were going to compromise their integrity, and they knew if they put that trash bullshit out, the publishing company would look like a hack, look like a joke. You can't put just open white supremacist bullshit out. And also, even in the notes, the editor was saying stuff like, hey, Milo, this ain't the place for another black dick joke, because he had evidently black dick jokes in the manuscript. And the editor was telling him, that ain't funny. Take the black dick joke out. What are you doing? This ain't clear. You can't say that. There's no proof of this. There's no proof of that. This is unclear what you're saying. This is unfunny what you're saying here. I mean, all the notes were just note after note after note. They're deleting shit, crossing it out. And I'm reading some of the things on The Guardian. They did a story about it. It says the publisher calls... He was saying stuff like, was citations needed? Citations needed. Hold on. The editor makes several notes asking the author to tone down racism in the text. The notes were delete, irrelevant, and superfluous. What's that? Superfluous ethnic joke. The editor also writes of a passage about taxi drivers. Let's not call South Africa white. So they're trying to get him to not be such an open fucking white supremacist. Also, it says elsewhere, Milo is reprimanded for using the phrase dark continent about Africa. So the guy was getting frustrated with him because they were trying to get him to not use all these white supremacist terms. And another thing, and I'm reading some of this stuff on some of the media, it says Milo, who was filmed singing America the Beautiful while the white nationalist leader Richard Spencer and others gave the Hitler salute in the audience, is also criticized for attempting to suggest that the Hollywood left is more racist than Nazis. The editor says, I don't like using Nazi analogies ever. So it's not like the editor was on some shit where he's trying to take the high road, because a lot of them are trying to spin it that way. It's not like this editor was trying to take some kind of high road. Let's be very clear. They are very aware that Milo is a little dirty, unfunny, cornball white supremacist. They know that he's a white supremacist. They were just trying to get him to tone it down. See, not take it out. Look at the words. Not take it out. Just tone it down. Use other words. Don't use the word dark continent for use something else. So that was the whole thing. They were trying to get him to codify it. He's too fucking untalented to do that. He doesn't have sense enough to do that. And that was the problem. That's why they said, okay, fuck it. We just can't put this out. We would have to ghostwrite the book, and that would defeat the whole purpose. If we ghostwrite the racism, then Milo would be out there denying it. Because, see, if he ghostwrite wrote it and they call him out on it, he'll be like, well, see, it was my ghostwriter who wrote that. I didn't do it. So that's why they couldn't. They had to say, okay, we just can't. We got to shelf this shit. They said, we have to shelf this. Because truth be told, Milo, like other white supremacists, most of them are just talentless. They're talentless, unfunny, non-creative bores who have to repeat canned talking points. And the thing is, Milo, they put him out to hide his racism behind trolling. And that can attract a young crowd. But the thing is, you can't troll your way through a book and try to be legitimized. You put the book out and that's going to have a reverse effect. That's going to continue to delegitimize you. So now they're back at square one. And that was the problem. That's why they couldn't put the book out. Because it was going to completely defeat the purpose of trying to legitimize Milo and legitimize white supremacy to a new crowd, a new generation. Because see, the thing is, the old school white supremacists, like I said, they know how to use terms that's going to go over the heads of a lot of the younger white supremacists. That's going to kind of be boring to them. See, the old white supremacists, they know how to use terms like welfare state. You know, those are little code words that other old white supremacists know. They know how to use terms like states' rights. They know how to use the term big government. They know what that means. Banker, elitist. They know these terms for Jewish people and the globalist. These terms for Jewish people. Chicago, that's a term for all black folks. See, a lot of the younger generation, they might not know those code words. The old white supremacists, they know this. We need a little law and order. They all white supremacists know what that code word means. Law and order means we need to beat down on some of these black folks more. So the old ones know the code words. The young ones don't. And all that cup this and cup that, you know, yeah, that's not going to work because now you're just trolling. And when you troll, you delegitimize yourself. And you got to watch out for some of these other folks. Like anything you see from something like Rebel TV, that's Gavin McInnes. He's from, he helped fund Vice. He was one of the founders of Vice. And I've always said how Vice, you know, Vice does a lot of low-key white supremacist shit still. They try to act like they're liberal and all this stuff. Vice does a lot of low-key white supremacist shit. And their founder, one of their founders, Gavin McInnes, he's an open white supremacist. And he's not with Vice anymore, but he went and started Rebel TV. And there are nothing but open white supremacists over there. Anytime you see anybody connected with Rebel TV, understand that's white supremacy. See, the white supremacists, they know how to branch off and come up with all these different little names. When you see shit like the Proud Boys or you see that little white supremacist hand signal, all of them are the same. All of them are the same. And Vice, speaking of Vice, there was some shit that just came out. They were exposed for not just sexism, but a lot of racism in the office now. There's women up at the office who said that the men were trying to holler at them and asking them if they ever fucked black men and all this old bullshit. So it's still there. I've always called Vice out on their racism. Even the way they portray stuff that goes on in Africa is some real Tarzan-ass racist bullshit. So we got to understand how the new generation are trying to make white supremacy cool and hip. How they're trying to do that for the new generation. And another thing they try to do, you know, and this is a problem they're having too. They're trying to recruit enough black folks, coons and bedwinches, to toe the line for them so that they can hide their racism behind them, because it's hard to find coons who are not going to get off code with the cooning. Like Sheriff Clark, that's an OG coon. Like Larry Elder, that's an OG coon. But you're kind of getting tired of the same coon over and over again. It gets tiring. Because now the coons know that they're not needed as much as they used to be. See, the thing is, and my man Sinclair pointed this out, they need coons to a certain degree, especially for the global market. You know, back in the day when black people would travel globally, the international community, they kind of wrapped their arms around us to a certain degree. And, you know, when there were hostage situations internationally, they would always let black people go. They would always let the black hostages go. When you go to different countries as a black person, people show you a certain level of respect. They do. And, you know, a lot of people from the dominant society, when they go to other countries, other than, you know, people using them for money or getting some money out of them, people don't really fuck with them like that unless it's a coon country somewhere. But for the most part, the international community was, you know, they'd be cool on us. They say, okay, we understand your struggle. So, you know, if we kidnap somebody, it ain't going to be you. If we behead somebody, we ain't going to behead you. We're going to behead that person over there. And now when you look at television and CNN and Fox News, all of that stuff is international. And they'll put on people like Sheriff Clark and the Jesse Lee Petersons and the Paris Denards and all these people, put them on international television talking that dumbass coon talk. And then what happens is that kind of fucks up our leeway with the international community. The international community is looking like, damn, okay, you black folks, y'all talking that dumb shit too? All right, we thought y'all were cool. This is why we have to be ambassadors to black America, by letting folks know how we really get down. That's why we have to create our own media and get out there and travel and show that we are not all coons. And this is one of the reasons why I'm going to Zimbabwe. Because, you know, I've called it Coombabwe based on some of the shit that I've seen. But talking to some brothers and sisters, letting me know what's really happening over there, I'm interested to really vibe and chop it up with the brothers and sisters and see what's going on. But they put these coons on international television, and that messes it up for us to a certain degree. But now, the white supremacists, they're so secure in the white supremacist movement, you know, they're not giving the coons as much work as they need to. They're only bringing out the coons once every blue moon. And Raw Story, it was Raw Story and some other media outlets, they put out something that says, treat it like a novelty. Black conservatives expose what it's like being part of Trump's tone-deaf party. And you have people like Crystal Wright. She's one of these bed wenches. And for some reason, Crystal Wright, she's looking real haggard lately. Coonan really does a number on you. But, you know, she was one of those, what about black on black crimes, black this, black that, you know, really showing out for white people. She's complaining that she's being treated as a novelty. They only bring her out for fundraisers. Another one, Paris Denard. They're talking about how they don't feel all the way included. And this article says, Paris Denard explains that he gets a tremendous amount of pushback from the black community while admitting that he doesn't necessarily agree with conservatives who say that racism is non-existent. But those who do question my blackness, this is the reality of it. At the end of the day, I'm still a black man. I'm acutely aware of that. There are pockets of this country where I have or may have been discriminated against. It is what it is. I know the impact of certain policies on our communities. I have experienced racism. I get it. So what these Negroes are trying to do, because the white supremacists are kind of pushing a lot of the coons out. They don't need as many coons as they used to. So what they're trying to do, they're trying to kind of ease back over here to black society a little bit. Because that little coon money is starting to dry up some. So they, you notice with coons, even Charles Barkley a little bit, he came out talking against Roy Moore. Roy Moore is wrong. Roy Moore is terrible. The Democrats need to do something for black people. You know, he's trying to talk a little, you know, with a little soul now. Because that coon money, it looked like it could be drying up any day now. And they're seeing high-profile coons and bedwinches get their walking papers, like Omarosa. When you see that, Omarosa literally getting thrown out the White House, that's scary to other coons. And Omarosa, I saw some article where she was talking about, well, I felt lonely being in the White House because of the lack of diversity. If you don't sit your ignorant ass down and shut the fuck up. Oh, Omarosa, don't you even try it. Oh, don't you try it talking that I felt lonely shit. These mammies and bedwinches, they love being the only Negro in the room. Don't ever let them fool you with that I felt lonely bullshit. They love being the only Negro in the room. They love it. They love it. They will make sure other black folks don't get to come around. They'll make sure you get fired. You notice at your job, black people, you notice at your job, if you got a supervisor who might be a little bedwench or something, especially if you're another black woman and you got a sister who's a supervisor, and she has a little bedwinch vibe, you know that she be doing all types of little shit to undercut you at your job. It ain't the white people. It's their negress who does it. They get their bedwinch to do all the dirty work for them. You know what? As a matter of fact, on a plane, on a flight this week, it was two NBA players. They got on a flight, and for some reason they had to go to coach, and some people, I guess some white people, saw them and recognized them, and they gave them their blankets. Do you know the black female stewardess, the airline stewardess, had the brothers taken off the damn plane because she said that they stole the goddamn blankets? This was a black flight attendant who got them brothers thrown off the plane, showing out, acting a damn fool for mommy and daddy, trying to get some butter biscuits. She threw their asses off the plane, got them thrown out. We got to understand these bedwinches, that especially with that anti-black man rhetoric. There's a lot of them with that anti-black man rhetoric out here. These mammies and bedwinches, they will show out more than the white supremacists will. Yes. A lot of folks don't know that article about it. This happened on American Airlines. That stewardess was black who did that shit. Oh, just cooning, over the top cooning. But the thing is, at these jobs, the bedwench or the mammy loves being the only Negro, especially the only black female in the room. They love being the only black female in the room. So Omarosa talking all that shit about she felt lonely because of a lack of diversity. Bullshit. The coon money is dried up. We tried to warn you, Omarosa. Everybody tried to warn Omarosa. So she's trying to come back over here with hat in hand. No, thank you. No, thank you. But the thing is, there was one And we need more people like this. There's this chick named Joy Villa. Now, Joy Villa is doing a press conference tomorrow. Now, Joy Villa, she found a way to finesse the white supremacist. She found a way to finesse them. And I take my hat off to her. And more people need to do this. They need to finesse these white supremacists. And this is something that has them shook. Now, Joy Villa, light skin, she's this thick light skin chick. She went to this Grammy party wearing a Trump dress. So she sent to wake a dog whistle to all the white supremacists. Hey, I like Trump and I'm willing to be your shield. Meaning you can hide your racism behind me. I'm going to act like a big old Trump supporter. And the white supremacists gathered around her. They start propping her up. Even Trump shouted her out on Twitter. I mean, they've been pumping Joy Villa up. She made a song called Make America Great Again, got her some little money off that. She was always bad-mouthing me on Twitter. That's how you got to really sell it. And that's one thing with the white supremacists and the coons and the bedwinches. They have to attack me. That's one of their measures to show that you're down with team white supremacy, if you can attack prominent black empowerment people. So she would attack me all the time, and I would encourage her because I saw what the fuck she was doing. I saw she was hustling. I knew she was hustling. I go look at some of the old tweets I said about Joy. A lot of people say they're still iffy on Joy. That's beyond the point. Beyond the point. Beyond the point. Don't let it go over your head. Don't let it go over your head. That's beyond the point. What she doing is actually working. Doesn't matter if you, whatever you feel about her, is having the desired effect. She was infiltrating them white supremacists. She was hustling for paper, and they took advantage of her, and she called them out on it. And what happened, and again, she was, I mean, Steve Bannon, all these people, all the heavyweight white supremacists were propping up Joy Villa. They were propping her up heavy, parading her around, all of them. This chick from the Pussycat Dolls, Kaya Jones, was propping her up. Now, Kaya Jones, let me say this. There's this chick from the Pussycat Dolls, and y'all know I don't like them. I never liked them. Go back to my old Mac Lessons radio show. I've talked about how I went to a concert, and the Pussycat Dolls were the opening act, and I talked about how garbage they were. Even back then, I said they must have sucked dick to get a record deal for them to be that damn horrible. In concert, I went to see Snoop. They were opening for Snoop. I'm like, somebody need to give me some money back for that garbage that I saw. But one of the chicks from the Pussycat Dolls is a hardcore fucking white supremacist with the shit she says on Twitter. Her little career dried up, and that's another thing with these suspected white supremacist females. When that little career dries up, they automatically start easing over to the white supremacist crowd because that's easy money. That's easy money, being a person spewing that white supremacist shit. That's a quick way to get some paper. Even if you're a black person and your little money is tight, you spew some white supremacist bullshit and you get a couple of dollars. Look at the Crispies out there. That's, Crispy just be another broke, dusty nigga, which he is, but he gets a little money from the white supremacists. That's how you eat. Being a little Crispy coon. But all these people were propping up Joy Villa. So the other day, Joy Villa, well, I think last month, Joy Villa went to some kind of Trump event. And one of Trump's campaign managers, Corey, fuck, I can't think of his last name. He's another one of these people with a long, complicated last name I don't give a shit about. But Corey something, this was Trump's former campaign manager. Joy Villa said this dude smacked her on the ass. As a matter of fact, he smacked her on the ass twice at this event. And I believe her. I believe her. Because that's what they do to sisters. I mean, hell, they listen to Trump. They talk about grabbing women by the pussy. And look at Roy Moore and all the people that they associate with. They associate with molesters and rapists and all this shit. So they're like, we can grab pussy and slap ass. Ain't nobody gonna do nothing to us. And I believe he smacked on the ass. And this Corey guy, he went on Charles Payne's show on Fox News. Shout out to Charles Payne. Now, a lot of y'all say that Charles Payne is a juicy coon. And, you know, that could be. But Charles Payne, I give him props. Now, he, you know, he is a juicy coon. Big old thick nigga. But Charles Payne was up there at Fox News banging them white women. So I pop my collar to that. Because I know that's eating up those white supremacists inside. The white supremacist male. I know that eats them up inside. And I've been out there to Fox News in New York. And the white women do be choosing. You dig? And my nigga Charles Payne was up there giving them the juicy coon dick. So I ain't mad at you, thick player. Shit, I'll let you coon and slide a little bit. You're knocking them off up there, nigga. Somebody in the chat room said, Paul. Damn, Paul, juicy coon shit. But this Corey dude was on Charles Payne's show. And this Corey dude never really denied slapping Joy Villa on the ass. He never denied it. Because I think there's some evidence there. There were witnesses there. There's probably surveillance there. Joy probably got some kind of evidence, but they took the bait. I think Joy was waiting on an opportunity for them to go that way, and they did. And then she called him out on it, which is good. I'm with her on that. And the white supremacists are pissed. They are so pissed right now. They were like, oh, this chick betrayed us. And overnight, Joy Villa was a hero. She was a great conservative. Oh, leave her alone, you black folks. Just because she thinks differently than you, she's a great person. She's a wonderful person. All of a sudden, she's all types of nigga bitches. She's all types of whores. I tweeted all the comments of them calling a woman a whore. She became a whore overnight. And all you sisters out there, this is what your suspected white supremacist peers feel about you. Now they can stop being fake because all that, hey, you're a Trump supporter too. We're like family. No, that's them being fake. Now they're going to be real. They're calling her all types of fat whores. What's up, Smellbound Candles in the chat room? He said, greetings from West Africa. Smellbound, what part of Africa are you from? I'm talking to somebody in the chat room. So the white supremacists are so mad at her. They were like, that whore tricked us. And now they're confused. And now they don't know who to trust. So now the coons are really shaking in their boots. Because now all the coons are going to be looked at suspiciously now. Because they had one of the people who they thought was a coon and a bedwench. They turned on them. And the white supremacists are like, we have a double fucking agent. We've been had. And I love it. I love it. And people are talking about this. The white supremacists are desperate. There's a video of Joy Villa smacking one of her friends on the ass. And the white supremacists are desperate at this point. And again, she's doing a press conference tomorrow. I can't wait to see what that's about. But we need more double agents like that. We need more people to infiltrate these white supremacists. All you had to do is get around them. They'll do some shit that you need to genuinely report. What's up? Who's calling? Okay. I had somebody calling. They're not saying nothing. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me, man?
Hello, Tariq.
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
All right. What's up, man? Who is this?
My name's Corey, calling out of Charlotte.
Corey out of Charlotte. What's on your mind, man?
Man, I was just thinking, since you're a relationship expert and you have a tight mouthpiece, I was thinking maybe it'd be a good idea if, like, Isn't Radio did a cameo scene on Insecure, because they was talking about relationships and you're a relationship expert, so I was just thinking that would be a great idea.
And that's random as hell. I mean, shit, that's random than a motherfucker. Nigga, are you smoking? Because you smoking, right? That's what niggas, when they get high, they start thinking of some of the most randomest ass shit, because what you just said is random as fuck. Did you smoke something tonight, brother?
Nah, I don't smoke.
Man, what did you do? No, brother. What are you smoking over there? You taking Percocets? You like, hey, man, I got a great idea, nigga. I got a great idea. What you need to do, brother, is go on Animal Planet. you and the women from ISM, and y'all do the show live on a fucking camel, nigga. That ain't nobody never done no shit like that. You do the shit live on a camel, go through the desert, nigga. That should be off the chain, and you can get some of that money from the Humane Society, my nigga. You can cake out. I mean, I don't know what you, brother. That's random. That's random as shit. What made you think of that, by the way, brother? What made you think of that?
Because you're a relationship expert, and just commend you on your advice.
All right. I respect that. But, I mean, just that correlation, doing a cameo on a random fucking show. All right, but all right, brother. Say no to drugs, though, brother. All right. This nigga right here. What teenager? Y'all stop letting your kids get drugs. Nobody, he should not have access to any kind of narcotics. Because that shit got this nigga thinking of all types of wild, random, creative shit. Hey, Tariq, this Tariq, you can tell he's fucked up. He's pausing. He's all dozing off on the phone. Hello, this Hot 97. Oh, this Tariq. Hey, man. Hey, since you're the expert on ladies and relationships and everything like that, you know what you should do? You should go down to the cupcake shop and get a bunch of cupcakes with your face on it and then give it to ladies out there, and then they eat you and they eat some of that game, and then they get pussy to niggas like me. And that should be bomb, nigga. Just you put your face on there, and your face is going to translate into the food, and when women eat it, man, they're going to be giving pussy to everybody, nigga. That's how tight your game is. Like, what is this nigga talking about? My God, brothers. Come on, y'all gotta be alert, family. Y'all gotta be alert. Y'all gotta know what's going on out here, family. Y'all gotta know what's going on out here, man. Man. Tariq. Hello, this Tariq. Man, this Jimmy from South Carolina, man. You know what'd be a good idea, though? Man, you know, you build a time machine, and then you go back to the 1800s, my nigga. And what you do since you got game and you conscious, nigga, you ought to have sex with Harriet Tubman, nigga. You and Harriet Tubman ought to have sex and have a baby, and the baby free everybody. We wouldn't even be going through this shit, nigga. You and Harriet Tubman with a fucking baby, nigga, that shit'll be kill the game. You get a GoFundMe for the time machine. I'll put $30 on it when I get my check Thursday. Niggas be having detail with their bullshit. Niggas be detailed with this crazy shit they talking about. Okay, my dude. Anywho, let me leave the calls alone, because I don't know what y'all smoking. It's always, you know, this the last of the month, niggas. Every time it's the last of the month, niggas don't get the good weed. They give them the fucked up narcotics. So they don't get the good weed until the first, a little bit after the first. Oh, goodness. Man. Oh, speaking of Hot 90s, shout out to my man Star from Star and Buckwiles. They said Star shouted me out. Shout out to Star. I love Star. That's my fellow Cancer. He's a Cancer just like me. So shout out to Star from Star and Buckwiles show. The legendary. I got to get Star back on the show. Star, if you're coming out to L.A., man, let me know when you're coming out here, man. I have you coming to the show to really chop up some good some good game. Because I like Star. Star, man, Star, really a lot of the way you see radio now, a lot of that came from him. I ain't saying that just to, you know, to stroke my nigga. But a lot of stuff, like when you see the Breakfast Club and the stuff that Joe Budden was doing, that unabashed truth, that bold telling it like it is, and just, you know, that type of shit. That started with him. Nobody was really doing that before Star. Nobody was doing that before him. You got to give that brother his credit as far as that, just really being hardcore. And he said, oh, fuck it. If I'm a hater, I'm an objective hater. Shit. I own that. Now what? You dig? Man. And shout out to Boyce Watkins. I'm doing Boyce's Black Business School. So I'm going to be working with Boyce on that. I'm doing the Black Business School thing. We're going to be chopping up some real good game. And that's going to be, I think I'm doing that Monday night. And check with Boyce's website to get the details on that. But I'm going to be doing the online classes just talking about business, dropping some good game. So y'all need to check with my man Boyce's website. Shout out to Smellbound Candles. They sent me some candles. Shout out to Smellbound Candles. They're in the chat room right now. You're in West Africa. Where in West Africa are you? And let's chop it up. Smellbound Candles. If you can call up 818-850-5404, that'll be popping. Nate, what's your Nate 32? What's your area code, Nate? Somebody's trying to call up, and I know I'm live, but a lot of folks in the chat room right now. And I'm asking Nate, what is your area code? Somebody said, this Nate dude is trying to call. Let me see if this is him. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hello?
What's up? This Nate?
Hello?
What? Hello? Is this Nate?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name in the chat room, brother? Okay, this nigga hold. Okay. This nigga hung up. Y'all fucking up the flow. See, this is why I kind of chill out on the calls. Okay, yeah, that was you, Nate. Nate, he's bullshit. Nate is bullshit. He's fucking around. Another article that I saw, and I want y'all to look this up, by the way. I wanted to touch on this. And I've been talking about this for the longest. This article came out today. It says, with the rise of the alt-right, Latino white supremacy may not be a contradiction in terms. And I don't want to read too much of the article because it's a lot of stuff here. So, but they're talking about what happened in Charlottesville, people getting beat up, people getting killed. And they talk about some of the people that were involved. It said, the identification of one of the men in the white tank top and the red hat shook many. It was revealed to be 33-year-old Puerto Rican resident of Georgia, originally from the Bronx. I'm the only known Brown Klans member I've ever met. Alex Michael Ramos joked in a Facebook Live video before he turned himself into the police, to the police, rather. The Facebook post has been taken down. Christopher Rez Monzon, a 22-year-old Cuban-American, is associated with the League of the South, which the Southern Poverty Law Center classifies as a neo-Confederate hate group. Monzon was arrested weeks after Charlottesville for charging protesters in a separate Florida demonstration. Nick Fuentes, a 19-year-old student who hosts an alt-right podcast called America First, is said to have left Boston, who had said he had to leave Boston University in the aftermath of the Charlottesville protests because he received so many death threats. The presence of these Latino men at some of the largest white nationalist events in recent memories underscores the complicated racial position of Latinos in the United States. Latino white supremacy might, as it turns out, might not be a contradiction in terms. Increasingly, Latinos are identifying racially as white. In fact, more than half did so in the U.S. Census. I'm not going to read the rest, but y'all can look this up. How long I've been telling y'all this? The Latino white supremacists are just as worse as the other ones. I've been calling them out. Cassandra Fairbanks, she's another alt-right white supremacist. I've been calling her out for years on Twitter. She claims she's Puerto Rican. How am I racist and my mama's Puerto Rican? There's a bunch of these fucking Puerto Rican, Mexican, Latino, Cuban, damn white supremacists. This is why black folks don't ever use the term black and Latino. We've been telling y'all for years. Claude Anderson has been telling y'all for years. We've been telling y'all for years. Stop using the term black and Latino. There is no camaraderie with the Latino community as far as racial injustice. Notice they don't really speak out against racial injustice like that. You have a lot of them joining these alt-right fucking racist organizations. The Zimmermans and the officer Yanez is, these dudes are not anomalies. These dudes are part of the system of global white supremacy. When you go to these quote unquote Latino countries, you see the whiter Latinos on top and the darker Latinos in shanty towns living on the bottom. They practice the same type of white supremacy in Latin countries as they do here. And black folks, we got this thing every time the white supremacists turn on them, because sometimes there's a civil war between the white supremacists. Sometimes they get mad at the ones who aren't quite white enough. They got to keep the ones who are not white enough at bay. And we want to jump in trying to help a group who ain't really trying to help themselves. They're not even trying to help themselves, let alone us. They won't even speak out against white supremacy. You got them, the Latinos, chanting build that wall. But black folks want to jump out there and take a damn bullet and a beating for them. Fuck that. I'm cool with a lot of Latinos, but when it comes to racial justice and racial non-justice and dealing with white supremacy, hold your own nuts. I'm not jumping out there in front of the bullet for nobody. Unless it's other black folks. We're going to have that mindset, family. You got to have that mindset. I still hear black folks talking that, well, we black and Latinos, ain't no we black and Latinos. It ain't none. That shit don't exist, man. And truth be told, it never existed. And shout out to Erica Garner, our sister Erica Garner. She had a heart attack and they said that she's brain dead right now. She's not physically dead, you know, thank goodness, but we don't know what's happening. And she followed me on Twitter. I followed her, real good sister. And that's very unfortunate. And I see a lot of people in the dominant society, you know, shouting her out or whatever, but man, look, Pantaleo is still walking around. The dude who killed her father, who executed her father, he's still walking around, and y'all from the dominant society didn't do shit. The thing is, when OJ just got out of jail for doing a bogus-ass sentence, doing damn near a decade in jail for stealing his own stuff, the first time in history where somebody went to jail for a decade for stealing their own property, that's the only time that has happened. There was a revenge sentence. You had white politicians, white supremacist politicians, getting on air, getting on television saying, hey, public, if you see OJ Simpson, follow him around and use your camera. You keep an eye on him. If you see him, you let us know what he's doing. You follow him around, and that's what they do. They follow OJ's ass around everywhere he goes. He's going to get gas, they're following him. He goes to a bar to have a drink, they're following him and filming him. If that's the case, y'all need to be doing the same shit for Pantaleo. How come you're not doing it for the damn Daniel Pantaleo, who shot, not shot and killed, but choked Eric Garner? Why are you not doing that for them? Okay, hold on. Let me see if this Nate dude is. This Nate dude. Yo, what's up, Nate?
Is this Tariq?
Yeah, man, what's up?
Oh, okay, my fault, man. I didn't mean to hang up on you last time. I thought somebody gave me a different number or trolling or whatever. But I was calling because, you know, I'm trying to sit back and I'm trying to understand why, as black people, we're so focused on white supremacy. When we look at who's pulling the strings behind white supremacists, it's Jews.
Okay.
So I'm trying to figure out why, as black people, we don't focus on the role that Jews play in a system of white supremacy.
Okay.
I'm not saying that white supremacy doesn't exist. I'm saying that the main focus that we should be focusing on is who is pulling
the
strings behind white supremacists.
The Jews.
That's my point.
The Jews. Okay, so.
The Jews.
Okay. So right now in Israel, that's a Jewish state, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Israel, right now, you have some of the oldest Jews on the planet, some of the people who have been Jewish for a long time, Ethiopians, people from East Africa, are over there getting shitted on in Israel. They get housing discrimination. They're some of the oldest Jews who practice the faith religiously. Why are they getting shitted on? Why are they getting shitted on?
Oh, because of white supremacy. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's what we need to stay on.
Exactly. Exactly. It ain't religion. It ain't religion.
No,
it's white supremacy,
isn't a religious. I'm not coming at it from a religious thing. And I'm not a Hebrew Israelite that's saying that, you know, we're the real Jews or anything else like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that with black people, we focus so much on just white supremacy, but we don't understand who's pulling the white supremacist strings.
But you just admitted, brother, you just admitted the problem is in Israel is white supremacy with the Jews over there. So Jew and white supremacy are not the same thing. White supremacy trumps Judaism. And you basically just admitted that, brother. You understand that?
Okay, well, I guess, yeah, I understand that. But I guess what I'm still confused on is we understand that there might be issues in Israel, which is a Jewish state, where you have white European Jews, the Ashkenazi Jew, who oppresses the Ethiopian Jew. But are they doing that because they see themselves as white supremacists? Or are they doing that because they see themselves as, I get this is the question that I'm asking, or are they doing that because they see themselves as just a superior class of people? Now, there might be a racial element to it. I'm not denying
might
that.
Might be.
What
it
I'm
is.
Saying
you just,
is
you
that,
just admitted
is that
it,
the key motivation? Motivate. Because when you look at the reason why I'm asking this,
brother,
I
don't want you to talk in circles, brother. You got to make this thing simple. You're trying to confuse yourself. You got to make it simple. It's either A or B. This group of people over here, now Israel is supposed to be a right of return state. If you are Jewish, come on down to get away from oppression around the world. But when one group of Jews get there, they get oppressed more than anybody. And what's the common denominator?
Their skin color. Absolutely.
Thank you. That's all it's about. Then white supremacy is the domineering factor because white supremacy is a religion. You got to understand that. White supremacy is a religion.
Absolutely. But do you think, and this is a question, do you believe that those Jews over there who might be light-skinned, who are not, you know, the Jew from the from Africa, from South Africa or wherever that region is where they come up and they can go to Israel, do you believe that they see themselves as white?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
They classify themselves as white over here, especially over here. But yeah, they do classify themselves as white by their own admission.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that simple. There's no other race. They classify themselves as white. There's no race and religion.
Because I know when Jews come to the Western Hemisphere, they absolutely do classify themselves racially as white because there's a lot of benefits that come with being white.
Over there, too. Yeah. You understand that?
Yeah.
There's benefits globally with being white. Over there, too. Everywhere you go, there's benefits for being white, not being Jew. There's a bunch of Jewish people in Ethiopia. Where are the benefits? Mm-hmm. Where are the Jewish benefits there? You see, you just got to make this thing plain. All right, but thank you so much for the call, brother. Thank you, Nate. All right. So we brought clarity. See, black folks, we got to stop this thing where you are getting confused and listening to these white supremacists. See, black folks, you let these white supremacists run this game while they try to pretend, hey, that guy is not a white supremacist. He's Jewish. And they're winking at each other, as Neely Fuller says. They're playing a game of white supremacy hot potato. I'm not racist. That guy's racist. How can I be racist and I'm Puerto Rican? Come on. And we see Puerto Ricans and Mexicans and Cubans and Colombians in the alt-right who identify with white supremacy. Don't let them play that ethnic white denial game. We wrote about that on Melanoid Nation. They will temporarily deny whiteness. That's a con game they do. That's that Alex Jones. It's the Bilderberg. It's the Illuminati. It's the globalists. Fuck out of here. Nothing but white supremacy. Their job is to trick you. Stay focused. You got to stay focused. Don't let them tell you what the game is. Black folks, let them run that game on you. Stop letting them finesse you. for a long time, remember when George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin, people were like, hey, man, this dude is on some white supremacist shit. Oh, hey, he's Hispanic. How can he be a white supremacist and he's Hispanic? As if they're somehow separate. And for years, many Hispanic people have identified with being white. And if you are identified as being white, you could be, there's a possibility that you could be a white supremacist. You have the ability to practice white supremacy. Not all of you, but if you are classified as white, that's the first prerequisite. You could, if you choose, be a white supremacist. So black folks, stop letting them trick you with their ethnic differences. And another thing these white supremacists try to do, they love trying to claim some type of Native American. Hey, dude, I'm not fucking racist. I'm part Cherokee. If you don't sit the Chera fuck down and shut up, that's another major lie. I call them out every time they say that. If you see a lily white person talking about they damn Native American or they're Cherokee, they're a goddamn lie. They are lying to you. They are telling a bold-faced lie, and they hope that you don't know enough history to let their lie slide. That's why you look at my Twitter. I list myself. I'm a historian first. That's what I do. I'm a historian first. Most of these people that you see, like Dog the Bounty Hunter, he's walking around with a fucking feather in his head. Ain't not one drop of Native American in him, or none of them. None of them. They're a bunch of $5 Indians. We broke that down in Hidden Colors 2. These people are fake, phony $5 Indians. Their granddad or grandmama, somebody paid $5 to get on the Indian roll, called the Dolls roll at the time. They paid money and then put a fucking feather in their head and they're walking around getting all the benefits so they can get a check. You don't understand how deceptive the white supremacists are. They are not no damn Native Americans when you see these people. Nigga, if you look at images of Native Americans before the 1900s, they were damn near jet black. Go look at that movie, The Revenant, by, what's his name? What the fuck is his name? Nah, I'm having a brain fart. The dude who won an Oscar. I cannot think of this dude's name. Leonardo DiCaprio, my bad. That's his name. I don't know why I couldn't think of Leo's name. But I think he won an Oscar for that movie, The Revenant, where he was playing this hunter, settler dude in the 1800s. They were up in Oregon somewhere. And he was living in the wilderness and all this old shit. And throughout that movie, they kept referring to Native Americans as tree niggers. Through that whole movie, go look at that movie, they kept referring to Native Americans as tree niggers because that's what they thought of the Native Americans. And also so many Native Americans had so many black features, what they would do, they would fuck black folks out of their money by labeling some of the Native Americans as Negro. They would fuck them out of their money too. And a lot of black freedmen were supposed to get money, and they start changing up the rules and the laws in the 1940s. But Claude Anderson talks about how some of those treaties, black people are supposed to get some of those benefits and resources that the Native Americans are getting. We got to look into those treaties. We got to really look into those treaties. But anyway, I got to get up out of here. We did a long show tonight, man. We did a long show tonight. But y'all follow me on Twitter, man. I'm going at the white supremacists every day. You got to call them out every day, fam. You got to be on their ass every day. We got to get on code every day. That's why they stay mad at me, because we stay on code by calling them out. We don't let them run game on us. We don't let them finesse us. We call them out and expose them. We expose their codes. They stay mad. More of us need to be on code. I monitor these white supremacists all day. There's the Red Elephants, those are a group of white supremacists. I monitor them. These guys tweeted some shit talking about how Vermont and Maine and Idaho are some of the safest states because it has less diversity. You see, they try to codify their racism by making it seem, okay, these states have less crime because there are no black people there. and we have to point out the truth. Yeah, ain't no black people there. You're talking about ain't no crime. But in Vermont, Idaho, and Maine, the fucking crystal meth and heroin and opioid abuse and death is so through the roof, you motherfuckers die before you can go to jail. You done smoked up all your fucking meth and your pipe in those states. The drug use in those states are through the roof. So yeah, you doing crime, all right. But your white supremacist code allow you to do crime without getting reprimanded or punished. Yeah, they got a lot of drug and overdose deaths out there. You dig? But anyway, let me get up out of here, man. It's been real. We had some real good game today. Shout out to Nate calling up. Shout out to the brother who was high off the narcotics, speaking of opioids and all that. What's up, everybody in the chat room? Shout out to everybody in the chat room who came through. And a lot of folks, y'all stop mentioning, y'all sending me links about Cynthia G. I know Cynthia G keeps making these videos, taking shots at me. I don't know. Bless her heart. We just pray for her. I feel pity for her. You know, when Cynthia G called my show lying that time, I felt pity for her. So I know she's trying to get attention. She's taking shots. Let her do her. Let her give her some attention. But when she called my show lying that time, you can tell that I felt pity. I feel pity for her. Y'all say a little prayer for her. My God. She's just trying to get attention. Give her some attention. Get her some for Christmas. Shit. Get her some Kwanzaa gifts on me. Get her some Smellbound candles. Smellbound, can you send Cynthia G a candle on me? We'll send her a candle and light that candle for Emoja. Shit. Anyway, that's been today's show. Go to 1804movie.com. Go to hiddencolorsfilm.com. Follow me on Instagram, ladies and gentlemen. It has been real. Y'all have a happy and safe new year. Understand there's a lot of cops be out around this time of year, so y'all got to be safe, family. Be safe for the new year while you're driving around this time. They be trying to make them quotas, so don't let them get you caught up.